If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs, not the book of Acts, the book of Proverbs. And this morning we are going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. We will resume our study of the book of Acts next Lord's Day, Lord willing. But this morning we will be in Proverbs chapter 9. Hear now God's word written for you and for me, for our benefit, for our blessing, for our correction, and for our instruction. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we ask that you would give us wisdom and insight and understanding into your word. So Lord, that we may continue to follow the path of righteousness, the path that you have set us upon when you first saved us. That we may be aware of the dangers of pursuing ways that go against your word and pursuing the path that leads to death and destruction. For your name's sake, we pray this through Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. One of Robert Frost's most well-known poems is called The Road Not Taken. The Road Not Taken. In the poem, a traveler encounters a fork in the road, and he has to make a decision about which path he will take. There is debate over how to interpret this poem. Is it about regret and not taking the other path? Is it about being satisfied with the path that he chose? However Frost intended it to be taken, he captured something about life that all of us face. Decision-making. Decision-making. Every day we encounter decisions that have to be made. Sometimes those decisions are so big that making the decision sets one's life on a trajectory or a course that is significant. These big decisions would include, who will I marry? What will I study in college? What do I want to be when I grow up? Where will I live? Where will I work? At other times, the decision may be a small decision. But if the same small decision is made repeatedly over and over, over a period of time, it adds up. Irresponsible credit card spending in small amounts can add up to quite a large debt. One small drink over and over again can lead to a life of alcoholism. One small decision to eat fast food made over and over again can lead to a life of obesity or gluttony. There are big decisions and there are small decisions that we all have to make in our lives. And both work together to set us on one particular course or path or another. And in our text this morning, we are presented with two paths that every person that has ever lived, currently lives, or will live, every person faces these two paths that are presented before them and before us in our passage this morning. These two paths are personified as Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And as we spend time together in God's Word this morning, I want us to examine these two paths in life under three headings: the heading of provision, purpose, and path. Provision, purpose, and path. And so let's first look at the provision of these two women. And in verses 1 and 2, I want us to look at the provisions of Lady Wisdom. The text says, "Wisdom has built her house, she has hewn her seven pillars, she has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table." Wisdom is described here as having built her own house, and this house has seven pillars to support it and hold it up. It's a sure place. It's a safe place where one can come and comfortably and safely eat. It's perfectly finished with enough room to have a large number of guests. This is the description of a mansion. You don't have to worry about the roof falling in on your head or anything like that because it's supported by seven pillars. Wisdom plans on entertaining a large number of guests for a very long time, as this is a permanent dwelling place. This is not a tent or a booth that could be easily broken down and moved from one place to the next, like the Israelites in their wilderness wanderings. This is a permanent, solid place with a foundation. Not only has she prepared the place herself, but she's also prepared the food herself. And what a feast it is. Look at the food that she has prepared. She has slaughtered her beast and she has mixed her wine. She's killed the best of animals. She's slaughtered the fatted calf. And she has mixed her own wine. This whole picture is one of industriousness. Wisdom is not idle. She is busy preparing to be a good host. She is knowledgeable and skillful. She knows how to slaughter animals and prepare them. I don't know how to do that. I'll admit, I don't know how to do that. I know how to prepare fish. But if you ask me to shoot a deer and prepare it to eat, you might end up with some skin, okay? So don't ask me. But Wisdom knows how to kill beasts and prepare it as food for her guests. She knows how to make her own wine. She knows how to make her own craft brews, if you will. She is a well-rounded and capable person who wants to throw a lavish party. And the party is ready. Look at the end of verse 2. She has set her table. She's put out the dishes and the utensils, and it's all arranged. One commentator describes it this way, quote, "She has unrolled a tablecloth, brought out the dishes, and arranged the table so as to be presentable for those invited to eat the meal." All that's missing are the party guests. Now compare this to Lady Folly and her provision in verses 13 and verse 17. First, the woman Folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. That word seductive could be translated as simple or full of simpleness. She knows nothing and she cares for nothing. Verse 14 says she's sitting at the door of her house. She's sitting on a chair in the highest parts of the town. So compared to the skill and industry of Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly is unskillful and lazy. She's not doing anything. Lady Wisdom is busy getting the feast ready. Lady Folly's just sitting down. She's not doing anything. There's no mention of her building her own house. No mention of her preparing her own food. In fact, look at verse 17. What does she offer for food and for drink? "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." Folly is so lazy that she resorts to stealing the food of others. And it's not even good food. She doesn't even know how to properly steal. She steals water. She eats bread in secret. Now compare that to what Wisdom offers: fine wine, slaughtered animals, rich meat, the best of foods, unless you're a vegetarian. But the best of foods, this is abundance and great food and rich food. It's lavish that wisdom has, but folly simply offers water and bread. And she doesn't even get the water herself. She steals the water. She's the worst thief ever. I mean, who steals water, really? I mean, you could steal wine or something else, something better than water. At least steal milk, right? But she steals water. This bread eaten in secret in the Hebrew is literally eaten, the bread of secrets. The bread of secrets. She likes to eat secrets, the fruit of secrets. Compared to the bounteous and industrious depiction of wisdom, folly is sorely lacking. Wisdom is described in great detail in all that she is doing. Folly is given very little detail, and the detail that is given is extremely poor. Great abundance and rich food is offered by wisdom, her provision. Stolen bread and water is the provision of Lady Folly. Now let's look at the purposes of these two women. Lady Wisdom tells us her purpose in verse 6. She's calling out, "Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight." Leave your simple ways. Or leave those who are simple with you. Leave the company of the simple and walk in the way of understanding. She wants the simple to leave their path, and she wants the simple to walk in her path, which is the path of understanding. She wants people to understand. She wants people to have knowledge and have insight. Bruce Waltke, an Old Testament professor, says that the term simple, which could also be translated gullible, means this, quote, "A malleable youth capable of being shaped and improved by the educational process and still having hope of joining the company of the wise. Both wisdom and folly compete for their allegiance. But until they opt no longer to remain uncommitted to wisdom, they are wayward. Without a commitment and open to various influences, he can either be led or misled." End quote. In other words, the word simple, the term simple applied in the book of Proverbs means somebody who's not made a decision yet. They're still stuck at that fork in the road. They haven't chosen Lady Wisdom. They haven't chosen Lady Folly. And they're described as simple or gullible because as long as they haven't chosen the path of wisdom, they might as well still be on the path of folly. To not make a decision for wisdom is to have made a decision against wisdom. And so being stuck at that fork in the road is not good when it comes to the path of wisdom and the path of folly. And so she invites these people, these undecided people, to follow her. She's enticing them to come. Leave your indecision. Leave the fork in the road. Or if you're on the path of folly, leave that path and follow my path. Come to the path that leads to my house where there is rich abundance of good food. Wisdom wants you to become intimately acquainted with her, and in so doing, you will walk in the way of insight. You will gain understanding. This word leave is in about half of its usage in the Old Testament is used to refer to God leaving his people or God's people leaving him or his covenant or his commandments. The word leave is one of abandonment. And so she's calling these people to leave, abandon their current path and turn aside into her. Leave the path of indecision. Leave the path of no commitment. Leave the path of indifference. Leave your simple ways, she commands. Not only does she command the simple to leave their current path, she also issues the command to walk in the way of insight or understanding. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Do not walk in the way of the evil." Walking here in the book of Proverbs is used to describe one's life, one's ethics, one's morality. It's used to describe your behavior. Do not behave in the way of the evil person. Does a person walk in the way of uprightness, or does a person walk in the way of folly and doing evil? Lady Wisdom says to walk in the way of insight or understanding or discernment. One of my seminary professors defined wisdom this way, quote, "Wisdom is the skill of navigating problems of life in a wise way, so you are a benefit to the community and so you don't bring negative consequences into your life," end quote. The skill of navigating. It's the picture of one going down like a river, going whitewater rafting, or out on a boat, and obstacles come up. You don't want to get your boat too close into land, right, or you'll get stuck. And if you're going whitewater rafting, you don't want to get stuck on a rock. You're trying to navigate all the obstacles and problems and temptations and evils that are in this life. And it takes wisdom to navigate all the problems that arise. And this skill is developed over time. And being a wise person means that you don't bring negative consequences upon yourself. An unwise choice may bring negative consequences upon yourself, but a wise choice will not. An unwise choice may hurt the covenant community, the people of God, but a wise choice will not. Think about Achan when he took from what God had commanded not to be taken when Jericho fell. He made an unwise decision. He disobeyed God. And what happened at the next city that they tried to conquer? Like 3,000 people died. 3,000 Israelites died because of Achan's unwise decision. It not only affected him, it affected the people around him, the covenant community. And Achan made that decision, and the punishment, once they discover it and find it out, is that his entire family is killed. So not only did the unwise decision that one man make end up leading to the death of 3,000 Israelites, it also cost him his own life and the life of his family, so that his generation was cut off. Wisdom is knowing the right decisions to make so that you can avoid the rocks that come up in our lives. So Lady Wisdom calls for the simple to leave their way and live. Lady Folly is also calling out to the very same people. Look at verse 16. "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here to her house. And to him who lacks sense," she says, "stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." Notice that Folly says the exact same thing as Lady Wisdom does. The exact same thing. "Whoever is simple or needy of heart, let him turn aside here. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." If you look at verse 4 and verse 16, they're the same. Folly is a rival to wisdom. They are in competition for the same people. We saw earlier that folly is described as ignorant or knowing nothing in verse 13. Tripper Longman comments this, quote, "She is so ignorant that she is not even aware of her ignorance." I love that. She's so ignorant, she's not even aware of her ignorance. This means that when she does speak, meaningless or even potentially harmful utterances will issue from her mouth, end quote. And you see how Folly, who I've already described as idle or lazy, she doesn't even know what to say. So not only is she stealing water to feed to her guests, she's stealing the words of wisdom. The very same words that wisdom is calling out, she says, well, I don't know what to think, so I'm just going to use her words, and I'm going to call out to them using her words. So not only does she steal water, she steals words from Lady Wisdom. You see, Lady Folly doesn't care who turns aside to her path as long as you turn aside to her instead of turning aside to Lady Wisdom. You see, Lady Folly's purpose is to keep the simple and gullible right exactly where they are. She wants the simple to remain simple and the gullible to remain gullible. But Lady Wisdom wants you to abandon your path and gain wisdom and understanding and insight. Look at verse 15. Lady Folly is calling to those who pass her by, who are going straight on their way. They're walking to one, she's calling out to ones who are walking on a straight path. Wisdom wants you to walk on a straight path. And so these people who are following after wisdom, they're passing by Lady Folly, and it's like she's reaching out and grabbing them, saying, "No! Don't continue on that path. Leave. Come into my house. Turn aside into here. You don't need wisdom or understanding or insight. We can drink stolen water and we can eat the bread of secrets, which is pleasant." Wisdom wants you to continue walking on the straight path. Folly wants you to not walk on the straight path. She doesn't want you to gain wisdom. And so she entices and she offers excitement by eating stolen food and the bread of secrets. Now, stolen water and bread of secrets is code for the language of immoral women. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 18, drinking water is used as a metaphor for marital intimacy. And if you will, turn over to the chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs. Let me read for you. Chapter 7. It's a warning against an adulteress. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. "Behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud, folly is loud, and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and in every corner she lies in wait," just like folly. "She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, 'I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vow. So now I come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home.' With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him." That is Lady Folly. That is Lady Folly. To put it in modern parlance, Lady Folly is crying out, "Life is short. Do all the sin that you want. Have an affair if you want." If you don't know, that was the slogan of a website called Ashley Madison, whose entire purpose was to help people have an affair. And this website was hacked in 2015, and the information of those who had accounts on the website was made publicly available. Ed Stetzer, in a Christianity Today article, after this happened, he wrote this, quote, "I estimate that at least 400 church leaders, pastors, elders, staff, deacons, etc., will be resigning on Sunday," end quote. The church is not immune to the call of Lady Folly. Another article I read about this account said that there were only 3 zip codes in the entirety of the United States that did not have an Ashley Madison account. 3 zip codes. 2 cities in Alaska and 1 in New Mexico. If you live there, nobody in your town had an account with Ashley Madison. Somebody from your city was on that list. It may be even somebody closer than just in your city. It could have been a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, a family member, a fellow church member. Lady Folly has enticed and drawn a large multitude, and she continues to call out even today to keep you and me from following the path of Lady Wisdom. She wants us to not advance in understanding and insight. She wants us to remain foolish. She wants us to remain gullible and simple. So that is their purposes. Finally, let's see the path of these two women. We've seen the provision. We've seen their purposes. Now let's look at the path. And it's very simple. Lady Wisdom leads one on the path to life. Lady Wisdom leads one on the path to life. Look at verse 11. For by me, that is by wisdom, your days will be multiplied, they will be lengthened, and years will be added to your life. Verse 6, leave your simple ways and live. If you leave your simple ways and turn aside to Lady Wisdom and continue to walk on the path of wisdom, you will live. Proverbs 3:18 says that wisdom is, quote, a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. She's a tree of life. We see that in the Garden of Eden. We see that in the book of Revelation. Those who enter into the presence of the Lord, they get to eat from the tree of life at the end. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. It recalls to mind the words of our Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who mourn over sin. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, wisdom says, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. The one who turns aside and follows after wisdom will find life, and not just the bare minimal of life, but blessed and rich life, multiplied days and added years, and eating from the tree of life and having the favor of God. Following a path of wisdom means that all the riches and blessings of Christ are yours. Because look at what verse 10 says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to know the first step on the path of wisdom that leads to her house is to fear God. And none of us are capable of fearing God until he sends his Holy Spirit to give us a heart that fears God, to take our dead hearts and give us a living heart that fears the Lord. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of this personification of wisdom. I know some liberal feminist will like to take wisdom and almost want to make her a fourth member of the Trinity. But Jesus is the fulfillment of this personification of wisdom. Paul writes in Colossians 2:3 that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For the one who heeds the call of Lady Wisdom, all the riches and benefits of Christ are yours, because he is the one who fulfills Proverbs chapter 9. To listen to the call of Lady Wisdom is to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take up your cross and follow after him. But we can only do that if he has given us the heart capable of following after him, a heart that wants to deny ourselves, that wants to deny the enticements of Lady Folly. Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. To follow wisdom is to follow Christ, and to follow Christ is to find life everlasting. Charles Bridges, writing about those who are seeking after wisdom, he's a Puritan, he writes this, quote, this lovely description of wisdom's blessing is no fancy picture. It's not just a picture, but it's divine reality. This is real. Rest not, he continues, till thine heart is filled with its substance. Take it to the Lord in prayer, and ere long thou shalt rejoice in thy portion. Don't give up ever seeking after Lady Wisdom. Given the contrast that we've already seen between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly in their provisions and in their purposes, and given that Lady Wisdom leads to life, it's easy to guess, you don't have to guess really, what Lady Folly's path is, do you? If Lady Wisdom leads to life, Lady Folly leads to death, and that's exactly what we have in verse 18. To the one who turns aside to Lady Folly, he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Sure, she may seem enticing and exciting on the outside, but Once one turns aside to folly, that person only finds death. John Kitchen puts it this way: the path that appeared strewn with sensual pleasures has become the wide avenue leading to death. The ones who thought to consume sensual delicacies discover that it is they who are being consumed by death and descending into the very throat of hell itself. Her guests are in the depths of Sheol. The word used for dead here in verse 18 emphasizes a lack of material substance. Older translations translated this word as ghosts. Her ghosts are there, are shades, shadows. In other words, Lady Folly offers nothing of real substance whatsoever. And those who turn aside to her end up being of no substance themselves. Those who turn aside to Lady Folly end up becoming like Lady Folly. Those who turn aside to Lady Wisdom become like Lady Wisdom. You become what you choose to partake of. And it's ironic that even though she offers sort of the bare necessities of life, you need water and you need bread, okay? So she offers the bare minimum, even though it's secret bread and stolen water. Even the plain basic substance that folly offers ends up in death. It cannot sustain you. It cannot nourish you. It won't keep you going. Or as one Old Testament commentator puts it, many eat on earth what they digest in hell. Many eat on earth what they digest in hell. Brothers and sisters, you and I face small choices every day and encounter large choices throughout our lives. Every day we encounter the tug of Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly competing for our affections, competing for our minds, competing for our hearts. Every day we receive an invitation to the banquet feast of Lady Wisdom, and we also receive the seductive and stolen invitation of Lady Folly to her plain food. Lady Folly calls out to us, life is short. Have an affair, give in to temptation, turn aside from wisdom into my house. Lady Wisdom calls out, life is eternal. Don't give in to temptation, don't have an affair. Turn aside to my mansion and eat freely of the best food that can possibly be offered to you. And so these competing calls brings us to the fork in the road of Frost's poem. As I've already said, even though we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we still have the draws and tugs because we are not perfectly sinless. And so we still have to make these choices. We still feel the sinful, tempting pull of Lady Folly. And so the simple question is, which path will you choose at each and every decision that you have to make? Will you make the wise choice in the small things? Will you honor the Lord in the small things? Things that nobody knows about. The things that you do in secret, are they honoring to God? Will you make the wise choice in the big things? The author of Proverbs leaves us without a doubt which path we should choose. The portrait of wisdom is lovely and succulent. The portrait of folly is dreadful and dreary. With whom will you choose to dine? Amen and amen.